hello, six pack of confidence. Been so many nights since we first met. Glad to see you brought all your friends for another night of Plastic Cup Politics.
Hello, and what I like to refer to as the brunch time in America and the Plastic Cup Politics podcast. How's it going, everybody? We have a new episode for you. It is December 15th. The Electoral College met yesterday. So guess what? Joe Biden's going to be president. So we decided we should probably do an episode. We are your premier drinking and Arizona politics podcast. You can interact with the show at Plastic Cup Pod. And however you're listening to this, go ahead and hit subscribe. The man sitting across digitally from me would be Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD. That PhD is in political science. And this is a part of the show where I say, hey, man, how's it going? I know that you and the family are super duper big into Christmas. So how's things going, and how's the anticipatory Christmas spirit going?
And dude, it's awesome. We went all out on the Christmas lights this year. The long-term goal is to be able to convert the house into a gingerbread house at Christmas time. And so we're well on our way now. So we're going nuts with that. And, I got a couple of my Christmas presents early, just because I'm going, I started my vacation today. I'm on vacation until the 4th of January, which I'm super excited about. That's the longest vacation I've taken in ever, when it wasn't for like a surgery or an illness. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, just for fun. I'm not going anywhere. And once the girls are on Christmas holiday, we're not all going anywhere. We're staying here, obviously, as everyone, please, for the love of God, stay home. Don't travel for Christmas the way everyone did for Thanksgiving. It was absurd, and a lot of people are going to die as a result. Let's not give each other death for Christmas. That'd be great if we could manage that. And as for what I'm drinking, I'm pretty sure this is bougie. You tell me if this is bougie. I went super bougie, and I'm drinking, sparkling cranberry and vodka. Tito's handmade vodka. Once again, saying fuck you to Russia and buying vodka that was made right here in the US of A by a Mexican immigrant.
No, man. Sounds good to me. If it tastes good, drink it.
And as we commented, before we started recording, mommy makes them strong.
So I don't think I've shared the news on the show yet. I no longer work for that brewery, sadly, but I now work for Sunup, located in Phoenix, 3rd Street and Camelback. Sunup, go check them out. They're pretty rad, and I am pretty proud because I am drinking the Trooper IPA from Sunup that I made and canned. So
yeah, you buried the lead on that one, dude. You're not distributing at Sunup. You're brewing at Sunup,
which is
super badass.
I'm making beer. It's an IPA. It's good.
Hooray,
coming
beer.
From a guy who doesn't really like IPAs. So there you go. How's that for a salesmanship? But yeah, definitely. Yeah, sign up. Check out the White Russian too. We'll be drinking that later too. We are just going to go ahead and jump into it. Like I said, it is December 15th. Electoral College met. Give us a big thumbs up. I think there's like one other stupid thing that the House can try to do to put their dick in the way, but that's not going to matter anything. I guess we're just going to discuss how we got here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a wild ride. It started off as a completely mild ride. But Donald Trump reacted exactly the way that I've been saying for 4 years that he would react. So let's just, we'll do the numbers, really quickly. It was literally a historic turnout. We had about 155 to 160 million voters turn out on election. Not on election day. A lot of people turned out on election day in part due to efforts, by the GOP to, squash mail-in voting, and early voting in an effort to reduce turnout, which is something we'll come back to. And you like talk about historically disgusting dick moves. They opted on the spread more COVID move to reduce turnout for an election. Fuck those people. Anyway, we still had 155 to 160 million people in total vote in the November 3rd election. Joe Biden won that election handily, not a landslide, but handily. He won it by about 7 million votes, 81 million to 74 million. That means there are 74 million people in this country who voted for more Donald Trump. There are lots of reasons for that. The biggest reason is racism, but you know, there are a lot of other reasons. He had like double digit gains amongst Latinos across the country. And, you know, it's going to be really important for Democrats to figure out why the fuck that happened, and fix that about the Democratic Party, not about America, not about the GOP, about the Democratic Party. Fix that shit in order to reverse that trend, because that's goddamn disastrous for all of us. Anyway, we'll come back to that. In the Electoral College, it actually was a bit of a mollywhopping. Biden won 306 to 232. Only 270 are actually needed to ascend to the presidency. That is the exact number that Donald Trump won by in 2016, when Trump declared that it was a landslide of historic proportions.
Yeah, so history back to back.
Yeah. Except Donald Trump, in his landslide victory, lost the popular vote by almost 4 million votes, and his per state margins in battleground states were significantly thinner than the margins by which Joe Biden just won. For example, in Michigan, Joe Biden won by 150,000 votes. Donald Trump did not get nearly that much in his victory in 2016. So, despite having referred to his much weaker victory in 2016 as a historic landslide victory, you know, Donald McDouchebag decided he wasn't going to concede. And we should now get into the second election.
Right. So kind of as Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, has pointed out before, that by hook or by crook, Donald Trump would try to do anything to stay in power. And by God, that happened. Through his mouthpiece of Rudy Giuliani, went and sued everyone. And we did talk a little bit on the last episode about the count the vote, don't count the vote. I do remember that. So we have covered a little bit of this.
Yeah.
It just kept going and kept going, ending in Texas. But I guess I'll let you take it from there.
We definitely don't need to go back to count versus don't count, because they gave us the elite strike force of Donald Trump's legal team. That's how they referred to themselves. Jenna Ellis referred to it as an elite strike force, legal strike force, gave us many other more significant lowlights after the count the vote, don't count the vote, not least of which was Rudy Giuliani appearing to melt on camera. As his cheap hair dye washed out of his hair from flop sweat. And so bizarre black tar-like rivulets ran down the sides of his face during a national press conference.
How about this for a low light, being that we're an Arizona-based podcast? How about him coming to do his little dance about how there was all this fraud and getting the Arizona state legislature shut down, both the mm-hmm. House and Senate? Because so many of them were with Giuliani when Giuliani got COVID, that it shut down the Arizona government.
Yep. It couldn't possibly be sweeter comeuppance, right? But then even that, even the schadenfreude you feel at someone like Rudy Giuliani getting COVID-19, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with hoping that he had died horribly choking on his own cytokine storm. Because that's exactly what someone like him deserves. He attempted to subvert democracy in this country. It was a coup. It was a lousy coup, an ineffective coup, but that doesn't make it any less A, terrifying for those of us who actually love this country and love democracy. And B, it doesn't make it any less of an egregious crime on his part. The man is guilty of both sedition and treason. So there's nothing wrong with having hope that he died, but he didn't die. And the reason he didn't die is that Donald Trump and all of his slimy friends have access to medications that the rest of us, most of the rest of us, can't and won't get. Up to the point where they attempted to bump White House staffers up to the front of the line for COVID-19 vaccines. And there was a sufficient outcry that Donald Trump then reversed that, as usual, by Twitter, saying that the members of his administration would wait. That's how badly Donald Trump and his acolytes have damaged American society, not just American politics, but American society. Because think about this. Inoculating the president and his administration first actually makes sense. That's the way it should have happened, right? Because let's say, for example, the entire White House decided to throw maskless holiday parties and then everyone got sick. Point out that they, in fact, did decide to throw maskless holiday parties and everyone is probably going to go get sick. That would be an excellent time for our enemies to attack us, right? So normally you would inoculate them. However, they have done such a horrific job of fighting this pandemic and, in fact, have taken measures to actively resist fighting this pandemic. 300,000 Americans are dead. Probably at least half of those don't need to be and didn't have to be dead and wouldn't be dead if not for the actions of this administration. And they all have so blatantly flouted the common sense rules of wearing a mask, maintaining social distancing, not having large indoor or large outdoor gatherings, for that matter, large gatherings of any kind. They have so blatantly ignored those and set such an awful example for the rest of this country that it has become a badge of pride for a certain brand of fucking moron to flout those rules themselves. There was no way in hell anyone was going to sit back and watch them get early access to the Pfizer vaccine.
But back to the point at hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giuliani. And he's not doing things at landscaping companies.
Yeah.
But anyway, that whole thing's kind of done now. The whole Texas lawsuit was such a weird thing in that they were saying that other people's elections were affecting them. And got a ton of people to sign on to it. I'm sure Paul Gosar and Big signed on to it. So,
yeah, most likely. I didn't look, actually. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Right. So the Elite Strike Force went 1-for-50. They managed to win one procedural motion and they lost 49 fucking cases in a row. And so Texas
including
went
the Supreme Court.
Including in the Supreme Court. And then Texas went, here, hold my beer. And the Texas Attorney General, and by the way, it's worth pointing out that normally something like this would be signed by the Solicitor General of Texas, right? And that's the person who defends the state of Texas or sues on behalf of the state of Texas. And most states have a Solicitor General. The United States of America has a national Solicitor General. That's who normally would have signed this, but he looked at it and went, that's fucking dumb. I won't sign that. And so Attorney General Ken Paxton signed it himself. Also worth pointing out that Ken Paxton is under indictment for securities fraud and other violations, not being investigated for, under indictment for.
Hoping to be pardoned for.
Yeah, exactly. So it brings up the clear conflict of interest that he is in fact angling for a pardon. He filed it in the Supreme Court under what's called their original jurisdiction, which means there's is part of Article 2 in the Constitution, or Article 3, sorry, one of the two, of the Constitution. The Supreme Court is the venue for disputes between states to be heard. It is acceptable for one state to file a bill of complaint against another state or several other states in the Supreme Court. It's happened before, mostly over water rights and border disputes, where a demonstrable injury can be shown, right? The Arizona was a part of one of these against five other states. We ended up winning over the rights to the water in the Colorado River. We ended up winning.
Go us. Woo!
Yeah, go us. We get 75% of the water from the Colorado River. The remaining 25% is distributed amongst five other states around us. None of it reaches the Sea of Cortez anymore in Mexico, where it used to. And all of those fishing villages have dried up and blown away.
USA, Arizona, USA. We got it all. Suck it.
So normally that's the kind of thing the Supreme Court hears under its original jurisdiction. This was presented to them where the state of Texas said, these other states administered their elections in ways with which we disagree, and we claim are unconstitutional and in violation of their own state law. And so we want you to throw out the 20 million votes that were cast in those states and instead order the state legislatures for, and all, in all four states, the legislatures are held by the GOP, order them to instead select electors, and presumably those they didn't stipulate this, but presumably those GOP state houses would select electors that would vote for Trump. That was the goal behind the lawsuit.
Yikes.
Yeah. So ultimately 17 other attorneys general, and that is how you pronounce the plural of attorney general. It's attorneys general. Attorney generals would be bad. That's apparently how Bill Barr has misinterpreted it when he referred to himself as a general, when he was directing the actions against peaceful protesters in DC.
But we won't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. But that's not what the general and attorney general means. So it's attorneys general. 17 of them signed on to the lawsuit. And then, astonishingly, 126 members of the GOP caucus in the House of Representatives also signed an amicus brief, which is a friend of the court brief, asking to become party to the legislation or the suit and supporting it. 126 people who were elected in the exact same election.
Exactly.
Yes. But they claim that the result they don't like, i.e. Donald Trump losing, is fraudulent, but the result they do like, them winning, is not fraudulent. The Supreme Court took one look at that case and went, and said, no, 9-0, we're not going to hear it. You don't have standing. You can't prove an injury. This is dumb. Two of them, Alito and Thomas, they wrote a concurrence, right? Not a dissent. So they're still agreeing with the opinion. It was 9-0, but they wanted to stipulate that they actually would have allowed the suit to be heard because they don't think on constitutional grounds the court has a right to refuse, but they would not have granted any relief because on the merits, the case is dumb. When Clarence Thomas says your attempt to steal the election on behalf of a conservative Republican is dumb, it's goddamn dumb.
But hey, they've been able to fundraise off of it.
Mm-hmm. Which initially was the whole point. Like when this whole thing started on November 4th and Donald Trump immediately started his attack on the American election system, the idea was never actually to overturn the result. That would have just been icing on the cake. The cake was scraping a bunch of dollars out of his dumbass supporters. So what he did was he tweeted about an election defense fund and asked people to start donating. When you read the fine print, you have to donate at least $6,000. And then any dollar above $6,000 will go to that election fund or the electoral defense fund or whatever. The rest of it is split 75-25, 75% going to Trump's new super PAC, or not super PAC, his new political action committee. Presumably where he will fund his activities as he immediately starts his campaign for president in 2024. And then 25% goes to the GOP's general fund, up to $6,000. At $6,001, that $1 would go to the election defense fund. Can you guess how much actually was donated to the election defense fund?
I'm going to less than a dollar.
Yeah. I don't know that anything made it into that election defense fund because this fundraising was mostly aimed at his low information voters who would be willing to buy this bullshit. Most people wealthy enough to donate at least $6,000 were smart enough not to. So they raised $208 million off of this bullshit. That was the initial reasoning behind it.
I know that Trump is yet to concede officially.
And he doesn't have to, as we've mentioned on the show before, it's not required.
Still fighting it in the courts somehow.
So trying. He says they haven't filed any new suits.
Okay. He's going to fade away.
I don't know if it's going to fade away. I think he's going to. So initially it was a grift. right? Which has become the term du jour on the left. All of the GOP are a bunch of grifters. Ultimately, they're right. I mean, that's the whole thing's a scam to extract money.
This is not all about, I mean, like that top thing, the collecting the money thing.
Yeah.
That's a Donald Trump thing. Everything else is completely backed by the GOP.
Oh, yeah.
Like the senators, everything else. This is a GOP problem. This isn't necessarily a Trump problem.
No. And it's not going to go away with Trump either. There was a great op-ed in the New York Times today, actually, from a former Republican, now one of the never Trumpers, right? They went former Republican as soon as he became the party's de facto nominee back in 2015. And basically they were saying, like, you know, they were immediately calling for what our friend Dr. Jack Crittenden had said was most likely to happen, right? That the GOP was going to start to splinter. And essentially they said it's time. It's time for Republicans of good conscience, not just moderates, but also true conservatives, right? Because the distinction we've made on this show has started to enter the popular consciousness now. We are trendsetters, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
Yeah. Trump and his supporters and the hardcore conservatives who have sort of jumped on his bandwagon, they are not conservatives. They are radicals. They are not seeking to conserve any meaningful tradition. They are, in fact, seeking to implement a new order where they and their beliefs are held supreme over the rest of us. And that is not and never has been the intended or de facto state of affairs in America, with some very notable exceptions, right? I know that there are some of our listeners are people of color, and they're listening right now going, hey, wait a minute, motherfucker. There absolutely was so never mind. But we can come back to that. There are some notable exceptions. But in general, there has never been a formal or informal predisposition to true minority rule. And that is that's what these people are seeking. And that's not conservative. That's radical. It's revolutionary. And now their supporters are actually actively calling for a revolution. Again, this is not conservative. That's what this person essentially was saying in their op-ed today. It was like, you know, these people are, and sure, you know, his supporters will scream about no true Scotsman fallacy, blah, blah, blah. But it is, in fact, in this case, definitionally true that they cannot be conservatives. So he was calling for Republicans of good conscience who love democracy and love this country to leave the GOP, spend some time in the wilderness as independents. And then if a coalition with the Democrats never really materializes, and let's hope that it does, but even if it doesn't, this is a great alternative. They will form their own party to challenge the Trump party, which is ultimately what the GOP will become after they have left. And the exodus has already begun. Paul Mitchell, who is not the inventor of the hair care products, he died quite some time ago. This is Representative Paul Mitchell from the state of Michigan, a member of the GOP, and he's retiring, I think, in 2 years. He's retiring next month, actually.
Yeah.
In protest.
The big man has like 20 days. Yeah. The guy has 20 days left.
I'm not saying the dude is a hero, Mark. I'm saying he's indicative of a trend. it's not exactly a giant sacrifice, but he formally left the Republican Party today and called for others to do the same, in protest over the fact that the party has become an anti-democratic party. Not an anti-democrat party, but an anti-democratic party. It has become a party that stands in opposition to self-rule and instead wishes to put in place a dictator. In this case, one specific dictator, right? Because it's become generally a cult of personality built around Trump. So we have to see what's going to happen after he leaves the scene.
I mean, once again, looking just back to Arizona, if you look at the rift between Governor Doug Ducey and Kelly Ward, the head of the GOP party out here, and their little tiff about, you know, we watched Doug Ducey hang up on the White House on TV as he was signing that Biden won the election, and that caused a little rift here in Arizona. for a while there, it was getting pretty loose, but that's why I kind of feel like there might, this whole four party, but you know, the split in the Republican Party, because I mean, my father is definitely a Republican, definitely hates Donald Trump. And if they put him back up again, there are a lot of people like my father who will not vote for the Trumpian candidate. Like, if you have any kind of stink of Trump on you, there's a lot of 7 million people probably aren't going to vote for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably will grow to a more significant number than that, right? Because a lot of those Latino or Latinx and Black and Asian Americans who ended up sort of breaking with the Democratic Party this time around and voting for Donald Trump, and many of them, it seems like this is early days, but it seems like many of them still voted for Democratic candidates down ballot, but they then voted for Trump. And that's, I can see you making a weird face, but that's the way populism works, man. That's the danger of populism, and always has been. It's why the idea that there are people on the left now calling for a left populism, like a progressive populism, scare the shit out of me, dude, because populism is dangerous no matter who puts it out there.
But what if it's Oprah?
Yeah, no, Oprah is also goddamn scary. You can see that woman knows how to build a cult of personality, right? And who knows what's going on under the covers there, dude. Behind those talk show host eyes, there could be some weird shit, right? Like, those are the ones that are scary. Donald Trump, everyone knew he was a fucking sociopath and probably a psychopath as well. Everyone knew it. We knew that going into it. It was obvious from day one. It's the ones you don't see coming. Those are the ones who really fuck you. So, right? Like, you've learned that in security, right? In a crowd of dudes, it's never the one up front barking the loudest that's going to fucking jack you in the side of the head, right?
He's going to cause it.
Yeah, he's going to cause it, but he's not the one who you need to actually watch. You need to watch the other ones that are being quiet and moving off to the side, right? Those are the ones you keep an eye on. The one who's doing all the barking, he's never going to throw the first punch. He's just going to, like, instigate the circumstances under which that can happen. And it's the same thing here.
I'm throwing that mouthy guy out, though.
No. He also still has to go.
I go straight for him and just hope that other people have my back.
All right.
We'll talk about me getting my head stomped in by Nazis at a youth brigade show at the Nile when I was doing security.
Yeah.
So moving on, where do we go from here? I know we saw the Georgia election coming up, and I know that's meaning a whole lot, but man, I'm so glad I don't live in Georgia. I just can't believe, like, just still have to go. I can't even imagine the amount of ads. There's got to be like 17 ads per commercial break.
Yeah, it's pretty. It has to be brutal. I mean, I'm still getting ads here.
Really?
So, like,
NPR doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. So, where do we go? There are a lot of things that we'll need to be taken care of, even before we can get to the rebuilding part. Right, the part where we finally start to put this shit back together again. So first, we have to deal with COVID. So the vaccine, thankfully, news came out today that the safety data from the Moderna vaccine was good, and it is actually the efficacy number finally came in at 94.1. So it's 0.9% less effective than the Pfizer vaccine. And we have another 100 million doses of that coming. And the FDA has already indicated they'll fast track it this week for approval. So it looks like we will be able to get 100 million Americans vaccinated in fairly short order. And then we have to start fighting to get additional doses. That's where it might get a little bit ugly in the late winter, early spring, as people downstream of the first few waves of vaccinated individuals start to scream and kick and wonder, okay, when the fuck does mine get here? But so that's good news on the vaccine front. So that's priority number one, because nothing else means anything until we can sort of restart life in this country. And we can't do that until we hit about 80% vaccinated. In terms of Trump, unfortunately, there is one last hurdle to clear. On January 6th, which is the day after that Georgia runoff election, and that Georgia runoff election, both Senate seats in Georgia are up for grabs. And right now, the Democratic candidates, and it's useful for warm and fuzzies, but it's not indicative of how the election is going to turn out. We all should know that by now, but the Democratic candidates are polling slightly ahead. So it's at least going to be a competitive day on January 5th, and hopefully we will prevail, because Mitch McConnell remains we all thought it was Donald Trump, but he's the most evil man in America.
Agreed.
So if we're going to get anything useful done in the next 2 years, we're going to need to win those races in Georgia. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot harder. If anyone can pull it off, Biden can, because he has 20 some odd years worth of relationships in the Senate that he can leverage. And he knows how that institution works. And that's the one that's going to kick and scream, right? Because the Democrats held on to the House, even though we lost some seats. So we need to win those seats in Georgia. That's what comes, that's priority number two after defeating the virus. And then after that, unfortunately, on January 6th, there's one last dog and pony show for the Trump regime. That is the formal counting of the votes. And the, both houses of Congress will meet in a joint session, where the votes will be delivered. They are delivered in a pair of mahogany boxes that date back to the mid-19th century. The boxes will be opened. The envelopes will be opened. The votes will be tabulated. And then at the end, the vice president, who is the president of the Senate, serves both roles. The vice president will declare the winner based on the tabulated Electoral College votes. There is the opportunity for members of the House of Representatives to object to vote totals on a state-by-state basis. Now, those objections have to have a co-signer in the Senate. And there was some hopeful news today. Mitch McConnell not only congratulated Joe Biden on his win and called him President-elect Biden, and called Kamala Harris, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, and to his credit, correctly pointed out the historic significance and how proud every American should feel that we have a woman in that office at long last. So good for him. He's still an evil piece of shit. And we need to win those runoff elections in Georgia. But anyway, in a hopeful note, in subsequent comments, he urged, in a private meeting, he urged his Senate colleagues not to support any of the objections on January 5th. Mitch McConnell still has a very powerful hold over the Republican caucus, and it is entirely possible that he may actually be able to prevent them from giving any oxygen to this idiocy. But if they find a sponsor in the Senate, then both houses will retire to their respective chambers to debate each objection for a maximum of 2 hours. There's likely to be no more than four objections, right? It's those four same battleground states that that Texas sued over. So Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, sorry. And ultimately, nothing will happen, because for the objection to succeed, they have to win in both houses. And they do not, nor will they ever have the votes in the House of Representatives. And it is extremely unlikely that they would have the votes in the Senate even. So
I would like to see them try, though. I would like to see how that vote turns out.
See, that's the thing. I would love to see it too, because you and I would see it as a repudiation of this attempt, right? Like if it fails 82-18 in the Senate, which is probably likely.
And I just want to know who the 18 are.
Well, yeah. But the problem with this is, right, is the fact that these objections have been raised, and these objections have been raised in past elections, even recently in 2017. There were some Democrats who raised objections because of the Russian election interference in 2016, who raised objections to certifying the vote, to counting the votes from some states that Trump had won. They were symbolic objections. They knew they would not get any support. They wouldn't get any co-signers, even amongst Democrats in the Senate. And even if they had, Joe Biden, who was the one who presided over that tabulation of the votes, had indicated that he would dismiss their objections anyway. Technically, he doesn't actually have that power, but basically he said that it was ridiculous, right? He didn't support the whole thing.
And oddly enough, there was enough evidence that all of the FBI and all the information, what's the word I'm looking for, intelligence agencies of the United States also said that Russia interfered with the election, and they decided that they weren't going to do anything about it. Not just completely wholly baseless claims about fraud. Oh, not fraud, because you're not going to have to say fraud in court because you're under, so you can't say fraud. So, you know, bad things.
So it's not just that you can't say fraud in court because you're under oath. The reason they wouldn't say fraud in court is because there's a higher burden of proof for a fraud claim, because a fraud is a criminal claim, right? There's a higher burden of proof for a fraud claim than there is for a procedural claim based on voter irregularities, or a procedural claim based on, for example, the idea that the Secretary of State, who is in most states, the office entrusted by the state legislature to oversee elections, right? So, the objection that they've raised repeatedly is that these changes to the electoral process in these states were made by by members of the executive agencies, and not the legislatures themselves, and that should never ever happen. But that is, of course, absurd. That's why there is an executive branch, is to carry out the law, to interpret and carry out the laws passed by the Congress. But there are some people who blah, 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 blah. That's another philosophical debate we can get into another time. So the problem is even though you and I know that it would be a repudiation, and it would be really interesting to see who the 18 were, it would be held up. God damn it. This is even less of an objection, really, because these people are going to claim that Joe Biden is illegitimate anyway, because they have become thoroughly deranged. But it would be used by the budding fascists in the GOP to justify continued sort of ongoing resistance to the Biden administration, because they would claim that the Biden administration is illegitimate. But they're going to do that anyway, so who gives a shit? The point is that there is absolutely no way, literally it is impossible at this point for those objections to actually succeed. So Vice President Pence on the 6th will declare Joe Biden officially the president, the winner of the 2020 presidential election, and that will literally be the end of it. There is nothing more that can be done at that point. So that's where we go from here in terms of the election. Oh yeah, and the UK is going to implode because of a no deal Brexit. But we've got so much dumb shit happening in our own country that no one really has time or energy or attention to spare for the fact that our longest and most powerful ally is about to eat shit and die because their own group of homegrown fascists managed to hoodwink the population into voting back in 2016 to commit suicide by leaving the European Union. And since then have managed, through a series of procedural maneuvers and again more outright lying, to prevent any opportunity for the British public to go, wait a minute, this is fucking dumb, and to reverse course. So it's interesting. They've passed sort of a point of no return. It's going to be a no deal Brexit, and it's going to be goddamn ugly.
Hey, but William Shakespeare got the COVID vaccine.
Which and that's all that really matters. So great. I fucking loved it. It was so awesome. And like his whole attitude about the thing was fantastic too. It was so quintessentially British. The interview with him, look it up on YouTube, because it is a joy to behold. It really is. Let's end on a high note. Vaccines are coming.
Yeah, vaccines are coming. They'll be here eventually. We are on our way back to normal.
And indictments of Trump and his family and his, members of his administration are also coming. So there's more reason to rejoice.
And the day after Christmas, a new season of Letterkenny is going to be here.
Excellent.
All kinds of things to look forward to.
Anytime I run into someone who is being sort of stupidly irate now, all I can hear in my head is, and kiddo, you're doing terrific. So great.
Oh, I think this might be the time of year that I share my greatest Christmas theory, and that is the treat yourself Christmas is where you buy yourself things and send your friends pictures of them and thank them for them, because it's pretty much the best thing in the world. And I bought myself a bunch of records and I've been sending them out, and Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, and his lovely family bought me the Les and Jake record anthem that has a Plastic Cup podcast theme song on there. I mean, they didn't know it was a Plastic Cup theme song podcast theme song at the time, but that's how it worked out. So buy yourself things. It's cut out Walmart, cut out Walgreens, no more buying Billy Bass, Dancing Fish, cut all that out. Just buy stuff for yourself and just thank people and tell them to do the same thing. It works out super awesome.
I like it. It is seeing the pictures and sort of thank yous from you is actually a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
All right. Oh, I guess if you want to follow the show, you can do so at Plastic Cup Pod. If you want to follow me on Instagram at DJ_LaRue, and that's just a bunch of pictures of records and stuff like that. I guess you can look at that. That's somewhat interesting.
And we are on iTunes. Well, no, it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts.
Spotify, Stitcher,
and for those of you who are insistent on giving all of your money to Jeff Bezos, we are also on Apple Podcast or Amazon Podcast now as well.
Oh, snap. So listen to us.
Listen Bye. To us and follow us on Facebook, where you can ask us questions that we will answer on air. We love to.
Oh, Merry Christmas. So we don't talk to you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish fans. We are in the middle of Hanukkah, or maybe we're getting towards the end of Hanukkah.
Towards the end,
yeah. But anyway, Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish fans.
Kwanzaa and New Year and whatever.
I think it's Happy Kwanzaa. I think, and Happy New Year. Yeah.
Okay. Bye. That's too much.
Boxing care. Bye, everyone. Whoa!